You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
I'm ready to get blessed. How about you? Get your Bibles out, if you would. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10. We'll start there and just see where we wind up. You know, last week last Wednesday, we taught on the filtering, you know, the filter of faith, the filter of the Word. You know, you filter things to get out contaminants and pollutants and so on and so forth. You have air filters and gas filters and water filters and so on and so forth. The reason we do that is because if you don't filter your water, especially in Wills Point, Texas, you know, it's just hard stomach. It's hard, you know, and it can't be that good for you. And gas, of course, you got to filter gas in your cars because it'll just ruin an engine if you get all that stuff that comes through, many times bad gas that comes in to your engine. That's why we have filters. Filters go out on those vehicles, and the car just shuts down. The truck just shuts down. And, of course, air filters gets the pollutants out of the air. But in life, see, we need to understand we need some kind of word filter, you know, some ear filter to filter what we hear. And there's one thing that you can see readily in the natural, the way things are naturally, but then we often miss the way things really are spiritually. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us about Jesus that he was the Son of David according to the flesh. And then he says, but the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. So Jesus was one thing according to the flesh, but he was another thing according to the Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Well, that's good preaching. Woo! Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on, keep on. Don't hang up now, preacher. And Paul said, after, you know, right before that great verse we all quote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things have passed away. Well, right before that, he says this. He says, we know no man after the flesh anymore. And he even says this, even though we knew Jesus according to the flesh, we know him now no longer that way. And then he says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I love that. So we often are aware of who we are in the natural. But see, we haven't really filtered that out. We've never, ever filtered that out. That still keeps coming through, you know, in our thinking. And we don't always see ourselves the way God sees us. We're not talking about raising our self-esteem. We're not talking about positive attitude. We're not talking about just feeling better about yourself and saying more better things about yourself, although that will result in this, but this will result in that. We are talking about seeing yourself the way God sees you, seeing through those lens, those spectacles. You know, everybody looks through a certain lens in life. They see things from a perspective. It can be a perspective of just anger. Some people are just mad and angry, and so everything they see, they're just angry, mad about it, you know. I mean, Mr. Bluebird comes flying by, whistling his song, and they're mad about it. All they can think about is shooting it, you know, because that's their perspective. So what God's wanting to do, and that's why we come to church, that's why we read our Bible, is he's wanting us to change our glasses. Amen? And check our filters. Now, how much are we letting through? We shouldn't be letting through. What are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about life? What are you saying about the future? Well, you should filter all your thinking and all your words and everything you hear through the Word. It'll eliminate a lot of things because everything you hear in life is not necessarily true. Don't you ever listen to politicians? Okay, there's some good ones. Betty's not here, so I can't get in trouble. There are some good ones, and there's some that there's some that are not some good ones. We'll say that. Is everything you hear on TV the truth? Oh, come on, you know better than that. You need to get out a little more if you think that's the case. Do you think every preacher tells the truth? I think they try. I think we all try to do it. And sometimes we misinterpret, and sometimes we have a little of our own doctrine, our own opinion, and so on and so forth. But see, if you'll take the Word, and you'll just look at everything through the Word and make sure it's in context with the Bible, and that's why we have a Bible, then you won't be at the mercy of my intelligence.
That's right. Amen.
Or my biases or presuppositions or whatever, you know. And thank God for your mama, and thank God for your daddy. And you need to listen to your mom and daddy. But, you know, there comes a point where you love them, you honor them, you respect them, you pray for them. But, you know, you need to be assured yourself of what truth is. You need to check the sources. You need to see if that's the case. You know, it's kind of like that. You've heard the story that they were cooking a Christmas ham, you know, and getting it all ready, and Mama was cooking the ham, and she got the ham, and she cut the ends off of it, and she put it in the pan, and her daughter was going, Mama, why do we cut the ends off that ham? What's the deal with cutting the ends off that ham? And she says, honey, I don't know. Grandma always cut the ends off the ham when she cooked it, and we cut the ends off the ham. I just always cooked it that way. And so the granddaughter said, well, Mama, why don't we just call Grandmama up and just see why she did that? So she calls her up and says, Grandmama, Mama's, cut off the ends of the ham. We're cooking Christmas ham. We're just curious. You know, we've been doing this for years. Why do you cut the ends off the ham? She said, well, honey, that's real simple. My pan was too short. Hello. Sometimes we just repeat things, and we don't know why we're doing it. We just do it because everybody else has been doing it. But there should come a time when you look at it and say, hey, you know what, why is that? Is that really what the Bible says? Does the Bible say that? Well, you'll find out. A lot of times it is. You'll find sometimes you need to tweak it a little bit. Hello, just, you know, it's just not quite where it ought to be, and you get in the Word and you filter that out, because we've all got some stuff we've let in that we need to filter out. I want to kind of flip that coin tonight and just talk a little bit about the other direction, okay? In other words, we need to filter what's going out of our mouth, not just what's coming in, you know, not just what we're hearing, but we need to put a guard on our mouth. You know, if you have a well, you have a cover on it. You know, in the olden days, they had covers on a well. There was a mouth to a well. That's proper. That's a good analogy there. I can run with that. And, you know, there's a mouth on a well. And you access the well through the mouth, okay? And really, the things that are inside of you, you're going to access through your mouth. Hello? Think about it. As you begin to pray, as you begin to stand on the Word, as you begin to say things out of your mouth, you know, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, is what Jesus said in John 7:37-38. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, but out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Matthew 12, Jesus said this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then he went on and talked about, he said, how can you be an evil, bring forth good fruit? For every tree is known by its fruit. And so a good tree brings forth good fruit, and evil brings forth evil fruit. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Are you with me? So we access the things of God that are down inside of us, that he's placed in us. We access that through the mouth. Just like you would a well. You dip down into a well and bring out water. But, you know, in olden days, they had a cover over that well. And there's a reason for that. There was a cover over a well to keep, you know, to keep in and keep safe and secure what was in there, the water. And then to keep the sand, the dirt, out.
That's right.
Yeah. Hello. Keep it from getting in. Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Hopefully you don't throw it out too. But we need to put a guard over our mouth. We need to watch what gets in our mouth and what comes out of our mouth. We need to set a guard on it. You know, there's no saying in naval terms, you know, back in the wartime when they had secrets and so on and espionage was going on, they had plans, invasions and so on and so forth. The Navy, they had a saying that says, loose lips sink ships. You know what I mean? Because you let stuff out what's supposed to be let out. You tell stuff you weren't supposed to tell. And loose lips sink ships. You know, I think of it this way. You got two ears and one mouth. That means you ought to listen about twice as much as you speak. And that's not always the way it happens. So Proverbs 10, y'all found it?
Yeah.
Proverbs, now if you want to get down to your mouth, what you're, you know, supposed to say and not to say, and I think there's a time to talk and a time not to talk. And there are things to say and things not to say.
Right.
And everything you hear is not to be repeated. Everything's not for public consumption. You know, it's really not. And so I might have heard a lot of things about a lot of people, but most of the time they're probably points of prayer. They're not things to put in the newspaper. We're not gospel gossipers, as it were. You know, we should pray for one another. Hallelujah, because there's going to come a day, you know, somebody's going to say something about us. And then when you put that shoe on your foot, it just doesn't wear well. But as far as the mouth is concerned, You need to guard it. You can't just say everything you think. You know, there are people that just say everything they think.
Yeah.
But that's not what we should be. We should be people that think about everything we say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
You can think about everything you say, or you can just say everything you think. Now, the safest road for you and I is to think about what we say, not say everything we think. Anybody said anything, you just thought, wow, why did I say that?
Yeah.
You ever done that? Okay, I do it all the time. I don't know how many times a day I did it already. I mean, come on. You said something, you go, whoa, I shouldn't have said that. You know, you said the wrong thing at the wrong time, because you didn't really stop, and you didn't really think about what you were saying. You didn't really have a guard on. We need a governor on that. You know, they used to on cars, they have governors on the gas where you couldn't go. So once you got to a certain speed, it just wouldn't go any faster. They called that a governor. It kept it from going too fast. We probably need a governor on our mouth to keep it going from going so fast. Hallelujah. Okay. Proverbs 10, found it?
Yeah.
Boy, I'm giving you plenty of time to get there. 19th verse. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. King James, I believe, says, wanteth not for sin. There's no lack of sin. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Wow, who guards and restrains and keeps. And now, this is God's Word. Y'all believe that? I believe that. I believe this is God's Word. I believe I can learn from this. I don't believe you're ever too old to learn something from God. Hallelujah. Because I don't think you'll ever get old enough to be smarter than God. Amen? So, you know, we want to be sure that, you know, there's a prayer I heard this other day I thought was pretty good. It says, from the cowardness of learning new truth, from the laziness of living in half-truths, from the arrogance of knowing all truth, God of all truth, deliver me. That's pretty good, really. I don't want to be afraid of new truth. I don't want to be lazy and just live on half-truths. And I don't want to get to the point where I think I know all truth. Amen? So we want to stay open to God, to His Word, and there's always something we can learn. And here He's telling us that as simple as it is, and we all know this principle, goodness, this is not rocket science here, that we ought to put a guard on our lips or on our mouth. And I'm not addressing anything in the church that I'm aware of. I don't think anybody's gossiping around here. If you are, you know, hey, just have fun. Have a big time. I'm not going to get involved. I hadn't heard it, if it is. If you're getting upset, well, anyway, I hadn't heard anything, really. Not addressing any problems. In fact, I make a point not to do that. If I know something's going on, I wait till the Holy Ghost moves on me. So far as I know, we're just doing wonderful and free. Hallelujah. Nothing I'm aware of. I love our church. Thank God for our church. Amen. A good spirit in our church, you know. And, you know, do you like everything I do? Well, of course not. No one's going to like everything anybody does. But we love each other and we're for each other. We're family. Amen. So he says, restrain your lips. This word restrain means to withhold, to keep back, to keep for oneself, to keep from, to hold in check, to refrain, to spare, to reserve, to restrain, to check. Woo! How many times have we should have done that? Bite our lip. You know, hold back. You know, I often heard this, you know, if you're upset with somebody and you want to call them up, you want to write a letter or whatever, hey, make that phone call tomorrow. Go to sleep on it. Because generally it's not near as bad as you think it is. It's generally not the end of the world. The things that you got so upset about that made your blood pressure go through the roof and you had to double up on your medicine a year or two, 10 years ago, you can't even remember what they are now. They just weren't that critical, you know. And so the thing we have to do is just guard our lips. The New Living Translation says this. Now, I've been reading the New King James. But the New Living Translation says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. I like that. Straight to the point. I wish I'd have had that on a card in front of me. I don't know how many times. You know, you know why you're losing your mind? Because you're giving a piece of your mind to everybody. And you don't have any pieces left because you're just giving it all away. We got to stop that insanity and start praying. You know, it's not. You don't have to speak up on every point. You don't have to correct everybody. You don't have to fix everybody. Everybody's not ready to be fixed anyway. We're not always ready to be fixed. You know, I get tickled thinking about Moses. Moses, you know, he He was 40 years old, and he was in Pharaoh's house. And he went out to check on his Hebrew brothers out there. And one of the Egyptian slave masters, I guess, was beating on one of the Hebrew brethren of his. And so he slipped around, and he killed that Egyptian and buried him. Didn't think anybody saw him. Because he thought, well, I'm going to deliver them. I'm going to set them free. Then he comes back, you know, the next day, you know, and he sees two Hebrew brothers of his fighting, and he separates them. And one of them says, are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian yesterday? So somebody did see, you know. Who made you a lord over us, you know? And then he got afraid because now the word's out. He'd been seen, and actually the Pharaoh did go after him, and he fled, and he went off and to the Beverly Hillbillies to his father-in-law Jethro. And lived 40 years in the wilderness. And you know the story, when he was 80, God raised him up to deliver Israel. But there's an interesting story there when you think about it. Moses wanted to deliver them, wanted to help them, wanted to fix them, but you know, they weren't ready to be fixed.
That's right.
They weren't ready to be delivered. Who made you Lord over us? Well, he had that destiny and that calling on him even then. But it wasn't until they cried out, 40 years later, God said, I have heard the cry of my people Israel. I have come down to deliver them. Moses, go forth. At that time, now they're ready because they're crying out and they're ready to be fixed. Sometimes we feel like we have to fix everybody, but you know, you can't fix everybody. People have to be willing. I've not always been ready to be fixed when people try to fix me. Are you out there? I mean, really, when I'm just, you know, maybe talking negative or not trusting God like I should, Brenda's quoting Scripture at me, I am not ready for Scripture right then. Hello. She's right. I ought to listen, especially when she says you ought to listen to some of your sermons. That's when we need marriage counseling right then. She's right. There's no question there. I mean, we're not talking about being right in many cases. Sometimes we're talking about just people aren't ready. You know, you have to pray and try to win. You can't antagonize and influence at the same time. Does that make sense? So you got to learn ways to win people and care for people. They'll know they love you so you can help them. So sometimes you just have to hold your tongue. You have to guard what you say, even when it's the right thing to say. Sure, it's quiet in here. I know you're obeying the message. You're not saying anything, okay? So we want to guard. We want to restrain. We want to keep. Boy, it's tough to do, isn't it? Especially when you're watching political figures on the television making statements. Boy, if that television actually heard everything I said to it. Or the windshield of my car driving down the road. Okay, moving on real quick. Proverbs 11. Guard. Watch what we say. Sometimes you're just mad. Sometimes you're just upset. Well, don't get in sin, because the multitude of words, it says, there wanteth not, or there's no lack of sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Proverbs 11, 9th verse says, a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. Wow. Everybody say mouth. Now, you know, we talk about burning people's house down and getting in fist fights and so on and so forth. An old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I tell you, words are probably the most hurtful, painful, offensive things that you can let loose. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Notice the 11th verse. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. You know, one thing as a leader of our country, leader of a company, leader of a family, leader of a church, whatever the case may be, leaders, I believe, have an obligation to give hope to people. Sorry. To appeal to your greatest hopes, not your greatest fears. That's what President Reagan said, incidentally. He says, I hope that when I die that people will say I appealed to their greatest hopes and not their greatest fears. Hello. Because there is hope in God. Amen? And we can destroy someone with our mouth. We can destroy someone with criticism. It's one thing to correct. It's one thing to just be sarcastically critical. It's one thing to help and encourage someone to say, you're better than this, you can do better than this, you can. I know you can, you got the ability to do this, we're going to get through this, let's shake this off, let's repent, let's go on, and then just say, you're just worthless and you're sorry and you've never done a good thing in your life and you hate your mama and you hate your papa, but God loves you and I love you, God bless your dirty, rotten little hearts. That's two different ways to say, you know, repent, I love you, God loves you. I kid around, I say often, you know, I'll say, God loves you, I don't know why, but He does. But I say that kiddingly, because I'm clued to me in that. God really does love us, and He really does care for us, and He really does see potential in us, He really does see value in us, He really does believe we can make it. We are important, we do count, because we belong to Him. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what sins you committed, but you can repent. You can start over. You can start with a clean slate. This can be a new day for you. Praise God, you got a bright new future waiting on you. If you'll come to Jesus, if you will come to Him and you'll change your behavior, obviously you can't talk your way out of something you behave your way into, but you can change your behavior, you can change your action, you can change course. That's what repent really means. Turn around. Come on, change course. Come to Jesus. Everybody in here did that at one point in time. You can do the same thing. Amen. And so that's blessing and delivering and helping by the blessing of the upright. The city is exalted, but it's overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Man, words are a powerful thing. You know, Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life. You know, one of the things I counsel married couples more than anything is to say good things about each other. I mean, that sounds so simple. But we're constantly criticizing each other. We're constantly saying, I don't like this and I don't like that. And, oh, here's one you never should do. I wish you were more like so-and-so. Don't ever say that. Because for me, there's no one else. For good, bad, or indifferent, for all intents and purposes, we're stuck in a good way. Amen? And you say, well, I've been married before. Well, you're married now. You're love the one you're married with now and make it happen. Make it happen. Love each other. Say good things about each other. I don't call Brenda the old lady. Yeah, she wouldn't let me call her old lady anyway. I say, yes, ma'am. You know, that's the success of our marriage. Two words. Yes, ma'am. Just today, I told her, I said, I yield, my lady. I yield. I did. I said that today. okay. What is that two things you make a marriage great is to make your wife think she's getting her way, and then the other one is to let her have her way. Yeah. If you're not doing one of those two things, you're in trouble, you know. So. Okay. I know the man runs the house. I understand that. She told me I could, so. Walt used to say this. He said, yeah, he said, I run everything, the vacuum cleaner, the washing machine, everything. I run everything around the house. No, he'd say this about I'm going to get in trouble. But he said, well, even I got in an argument the other day, and I didn't see her for 2 weeks. And he says, and after about 2 weeks, one of my eyes started opening up a little bit. I could see her. The other day, she was just screaming at me. Get off from under that bed and fight like a man. Anyway, okay. Okay, before I get in more trouble. Proverbs 11, we read that, all right. Proverbs 13, turn there with me. Watch your words. Put some sugar on those words. It tastes better when you have to eat them. And I'll tell you, the best time to eat crows while it's young and tender. Don't wait too late. It gets really tough. Proverbs 13, this is good. Basically the same principle, 13 verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life. If I can say anything to you, husband, this is so true. You save your life, okay? Just Don't say anything. Don't do it. Don't do it. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Are you out there? But that's true in so many cases. I mean, come on, think about it. I mean, we're human. We got emotions. I've got feelings. You got feelings. Come on, you're never, you know, you don't get to thinking that just because you're a Christian, you pray and you seek God and you read the Bible and go to church, that you're never going to get upset, you're never going to get offended, and you're never going to get mad. You're still in a broken, fallen world, and you still have a body that is crazy, okay? A flesh that pulls at you. And so you have to learn to discipline yourself to stop. Don't say that. No, not going to say that. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Not going to say that. And it takes a while to do that. You know, I know when I first got saved, and I was a cusser. I mean, I could cuss. Woo, I cussed. I cussed up one side down and cussed the other. Bernie used to get on to me all the time before I got saved. Chris was just a little guy. He was about a year and a half old, I guess, when I turned my life over to Jesus. And I'd sit at the table and start cussing. She said, don't talk like that in front of Chris. She used to get on to me all the time about it. I had a filthy mouth. And so I got saved. And then I had to retrain myself, because the first, you know, a couple things that happened, stump my toe or get mad, here would come a cuss word, you know. And it didn't really sound the same anymore, because now I'm born again. Now I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood. And out of habit, okay, it's still kind of popping out, and I'm going, and it's going like, boom, pow, hitting the ground just like a lead balloon. I'm going, whoa, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. So I started training myself to not do that. You say, oh, what's the big deal? Well, I'm just saying, you're not going to go to heaven or hell because you talk right. Stay with me. You go to heaven because you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But I know it can be offensive to people when you cuss. And I want to offend as few people as I can. How about you? I don't want to purposely go out there and offend people. And I've never had anybody come up to me and says, you're kind of making me mad because I hadn't heard you cuss in about an hour now. I mean, no one's been offended by me not cussing. Are you with me? But it took some training to do that. I had to discipline myself. I had to guard my mouth, and got to where I'd kick my toe. I'd say, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know? Yeah. Or, you know, hit my thumb with a hammer, because I was a carpenter for years. That's what I did, construction work. And, you know, and even a Christian full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'd pray in the Holy Ghost and still hit my thumb. It's amazing. It happens. If you hammer enough nails, you're going to hit your thumb. It happens. Hit your head, you know, hit something. And, you know, the inclination is to holler or scream or cuss. Well, now you couldn't make me do that. Now I hit my head. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Ooh, ooh, no pain, no pain, no pain. You know, I mean, it's just, it comes out because I've trained myself to do that. Just like you trained yourself, you know, to cuss. I mean, come on. You learn that. That's learned behavior. Christianity is learned behavior. Living the Christian life is learned behavior. You know, holding back, not saying anything is learned behavior. Brenda's got it down. She's really got it down, I'm telling you. I mean, she can just give me that silent treatment. Woo! Wow. I'm wanting to fight. You know, she doesn't want to fight. She won't fight. It's hard to fight with yourself. Shadow box, you know. I'm wanting to argue. She just won't do it. Just shuts down. Hello. I'm making all these great points, and she's just not responding. You know. Yeah. But it's a discipline. It's a good discipline. I envy her in that respect. I wish I was more like that. I wish I could be quiet more. Hello, don't you? Don't you? I mean, you know, that boy, you get hot and upset, and here goes the, you don't have that guard on the mouth. You don't have that cover on the well. Amen. Woo. Well, he says here, Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. The New Living Translation on this one says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Wow. Guard, in this word in the Hebrew, where it says guard, it means to watch over, to keep, to guard, to keep, to preserve, to guard from dangers. I love that. To keep, observe, and guard with fidelity, faithfulness and fidelity and truthfulness. And to guard and keep secret, to be kept close, to blockade as a watchman. There's a war going on. Do you know that? There's a battle going on for your marriage, for your sanity, for your soul, for your business, for your country, whatever the case may be. We have got to watch what we say. Words are some of the most powerful things that have ever entered this universe or ever will enter this universe. They are the stuff that the universe is made of. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's the material God used. It's what He used to make the world. You know, if I were a carpenter, I'd have to have some lumber to work with. If I were a painter, I'd have to have some paint to work with. But God uses words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with Him. Without Him, the Word was anything made that was made. Everything that was made that was made by Him, the Word. So words are powerful things, so we have to watch that we don't build the wrong thing in our building.
Amen. Right.
Words are seed. We've got to watch that we're not planting the wrong thing in our sowing. Because if we're talking, we're sowing. If we're talking, we're building. Building something good, building something bad, sowing something good, sowing something bad. And so we ought to put a guard on there. Put a watch on there. Don't let the wrong words... Is what you are saying about your marriage, is it helping your marriage?
Yes.
Or is it hurting your marriage? Hey, what are you saying about yourself? There's another one. Come on. Are you saying you're no good and you can't ever make it and you can't do anything right and nobody cares and nobody knows the trouble I see? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Don't say that. You've got to stop that insanity.
Right.
Well, I'm just so dumb. Quit saying that. Quit saying that. Stop saying that. Start saying what God says.
Amen.
I am loved. I am accepted. I am important. I have great value. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world or lose his own soul? God puts more value on your soul than He does the whole world that He made. God may be the creator of the universe, but He's only the father of mankind. He never claims to be the father of the monkeys, no matter what Darwin said. He never claims to be the father of birds and the bees, the flowers and the trees, the moon up above. He is the father of the thing called love. But He is just, He's the creator of everything, but He's the father of mankind. He birthed us. We're born again. Jesus said, pray this way, our Father, which art in heaven. He loves us. See, I tell you, we're going to outlive all this. This is all going to pass away, and we're going to go on and on and on. We're going to look at all this as an old tale. You and I will outlive it all. Because we're born of God. Hallelujah. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. We have a place eternal in the heavens. We have a citizenship in heaven. We have an inheritance with the saints in light. Wow. If you were to see each other, and that's the problem, we don't see right, we don't see accurately, we don't judge righteously, but if we were to see each other in the glory that God has in store for us, you never passed a mere human in all your life. You just see flesh, but that person has the potential to be glorified and is going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years and in the heavens forever. On a new heaven and a new earth, and a glorified body, that if you could see them in their glory, if they appeared, if all of a sudden God took the veil away and showed you what they look like in their glorified state, resurrected, glorified state, they're going to live for eternity. If you actually saw that, you would fall on your face and worship them. You'd be wrong to do that. But you would do that because you had never seen anything like that in your life. Oftentimes people actually did that in the Bible. When an angel would appear, they'd fall down to worship. And they said, stand back up. John did that in the book of Revelation. The messengers that came and showed him around up in heaven. And they were people. They weren't just angels. They were people. But they were glorified. And John fell down to worship one. He said, don't worship me. I'm of your brethren, one of the prophets. That's what he said right there in Revelation. He said, worship God. But see, we don't have a concept many times of what God has in store for all of us and how important we are and how we count and what God's trying to do here. I'll tell you what, it'd change the way we talk. Amen? What do you say about yourself? Well, you ought to say what God says about you. You can make it. There's hope. Amen? There is hope. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16. Y'all stay with me. Not that I feel like y'all are going to run out or anything, but... Proverbs 16. Notice what it says here. 23rd verse says, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, adds learning to his lips. That means I think about what I'm going to say. I let my heart decide what I say. Is that right? Is that good? Will that build up? Will that help? Will that bless? Will that heal? Will that fix the situation? Will that bring people together? Will that show forth God and his love? Will that actually, solve and answer a problem instead of creating a problem, or I'm adding fuel to the fire? What I need to stop and examine my heart. Is this good? Is this something I should be saying? Is this something I should let out of my mouth? My heart should teach my lips.
Amen.
If I'm a wise person, it will. Amen? In fact, when that doesn't happen, I'm not so wise. I'm not so cool. You don't always want to be cool. Didn't you want to be cool when you were growing up? You know, I always wanted to be cool when I was growing up, and I was just a fool. And I thought saying the things I said was being cool, but actually it just the fool's mouth calls for strokes, the Bible says. That's from Proverbs 2. And most of the fights that I got into and the trouble I got into, it didn't just happen. I wasn't just in the wrong crowd. My mouth was calling for it. In fact, if I'd just not said a few things I said on many occasions, nothing would have happened. But oh no, I had to say something. I had to get out there and be cool. Now, I always had to hang around people a lot bigger than me because my mouth was a lot bigger than I was able to handle. So I had big friends. I always had friends that could fight good. And, you know, I hung around people because I was always the instigator. Can you believe that? I mean, really. I was the instigator, and I would start stuff. I would always start stuff. I was notorious for starting stuff. But it was right here. All I had to do is just zip the lip, and it wouldn't have gone that far. A fool's mouth calls for strokes, the Bible says. I didn't let my heart teach me anything. I just let it fly. Whatever came in my head, it just came out. I just said everything I thought instead of thinking about everything I said. Thank God I got delivered from that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God I got saved. Praise God. Proverbs 17, let's talk about being cool for a minute here. Proverbs 17, verse 27, says, he who has knowledge spares his words. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He who has knowledge spares his words. In other words, the more you know, the less you usually say. And a man of understanding is of a calm, excellent spirit. One translation says cool spirit. Now here's how you be cool. A man of understanding is of a cool spirit. You know, like Clint Eastwood. You know, Clint Eastwood hardly ever said anything. Really wasn't much of an actor. He was just cool, calm, collective, you know. And he just shot everybody.
Make my day,
you know. Now, life's not that simple. I will say that. You can't just shoot everybody. You can't do that. It's like that Spanish, I forgot the guy's name, they had the priest come in. True story. Priest came in, he's on his deathbed reading his last rites and says, now, sir, so-and-so, you need to forgive your enemies. And he says, well, Father, I don't have any. I killed them all. You know, but life does not work that way. This is not a movie. You can't go shoot everybody you don't agree with. You need to pray for them. You need to watch what you say so you don't instigate and antagonize. And he who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm or a cool spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he's considered perceptive or a wise man. My daddy used to tell me, he said, son, you can just keep your mouth shut and fool a lot of people or open it up and remove all doubt. I didn't know he's quoting a proverb, but he really was. It was just kind of his translation of that, you know. I think in many cases, if we'll just not say anything, we don't have to say something in every case. There's an art to silence, just like there's an art to saying the right thing or speaking. Or you know, there's an art to be putting a guard on our mouth, putting the lid on the well. Sure is quiet in here. Y'all getting this? Well, if nothing else, just get the CD and give it to that person you're thinking about that should have been here tonight. Because I know you're thinking of somebody that needs to hear this message. Bless God, where are they? Goodness. Still in Proverbs 18. Give me a few more minutes. We'll wrap this up. Filter and guard. Watch your tongue. Man, you know what James says about it. James, third chapter of James, he says that if you're able to bridle your tongue, you can bridle and guard your whole life. You can get a hold and control your whole life if you can control your tongue. That's pretty strong words. He said our tongue's like a rudder. And behold how this huge ship is turned by a small rudder. He said our tongue's like a bridle in a horse's mouth, and yet that little bit in that horse's mouth turns that horse anywhere the rider wants it to go. And you know, it's not the storms of life that determine where you end up. It's not the waves. It's not the wind. It's the rudder. It's where you set your rudder. Let the wind blow. Are you out there? And let the waves beat. Tragedy comes and goes. Crisis comes and goes. We live in a broken, fallen world. Watch where you got your mouth set. Because where you got your mouth set is where you're going to wind up. Isn't that right? I mean, this big, huge ship's tossed to and fro all these winds and waves, but that rudder just keeps it going right on through it. Because that rudder's set. We need to set our tongue on God's Word. Set our tongue on what God says. Set our tongue to believe Him and trust Him. Don't be swayed and guard and watch what comes out of our mouth. And he that spares or guards his tongue spares his life. Whew. Okay, what did I tell you to turn to? 18? Okay, three passages up real quick. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7 says, a fool's lips enter into contention and his mouth calls for blows or strokes. I just got through saying that, actually. A fool's mouth is his destruction and his lips are the snare of his soul. Woo! Man, I can think so many people need to be here tonight. Y'all need to buy a bunch of CDs and just give these away because I know y'all don't need this. I mean, I don't need this, but I know people that need this. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth, there's that word guard again, keep guard, and tongue, keeps his soul from troubles. You know, y'all are doing so well tonight because everybody's so quiet. You know, that's what the message is about. I mean, why could I complain about that? How can I complain? Because everybody's... This is a spiritual law just like there's a natural law. There's a spiritual law of confession. You know, you say things constantly over and over and you just ruin yourself. You destroy your life. You can just put poison into your marriage and put poison into your business and put poison into your self-esteem, whatever the case may be. You can poison a church. You can poison a country just by words, by things that you say over and over and over. You can destroy it. Or you can turn around and you can lift and you can encourage and you can heal and you can give people vision and give them incentive and all of a sudden they're ready to go and make this happen and rise above this and overcome this and put light on the future instead of the past. Are you with me? All with words. All with words. I can encourage you. I can lift you. I can talk about how God loves you and He's for you and how with the Bible and the principles in God's Word, you can turn your life around. You can get yourself back up on your feet. You count. You can make it. You got hope. I don't care what anybody tells you, what you've heard out in the world. God believes in you. You say you believe in God. He believes in you. He knows you can make it happen. He has entrusted you with His name and His Word and the Holy Spirit, and He is here to give you hope and help and healing and a cure. And I tell you, this can be a new day for you. You can pick yourself up off the ground and shake the dust off and go again and rise again. Amen. And the sun can shine again in your life and in your marriage and in your family and your business. You can make it. Yes. Now see, that's lifting. That's the truth. That's the truth. I just told you the truth. I just lifted you with words. It stirs you. You know, Chris used to say, he was just a young, after we got saved, he's, I don't know, 8 or 10 or whatever, and we used to watch Lester Sumrall on television. And Chris, the one thing he would say when we get through watching Lester, he said, that man makes me feel so bold. Well, what he was experiencing was the anointing. He He had hope. He felt like he could make it. See, that's what church is about. That's what we're about. We don't have the right to tear down another man. We don't have the right to destroy someone else's dreams.
Amen.
And hopes. Amen. And give up on people. Oh yeah, we're against sin. There's no question where we stand on the issue of sin. I speak on sin all the time. But we love the sinner. There's hope for them if they repent.
Yeah.
I don't hate people. I don't want to hate people. Are you with me? I make me mad sometimes. I have to repent. But I don't hate them.
Yeah.
Thank God he doesn't hate me. God doesn't hate me.
Right.
Thank God he didn't give up on me. Hallelujah. Thank God he saw what I could be, not what I was. He saw my potential, as it were. See, you don't see value in people. That's why you hate people, because you don't see any value in them. You don't believe they count. You don't see like God does. Oh, come on. I'm talking to me too here. I look at people and kind of write them off, you know. I don't see any, because I don't see value in them. But God sees value in them. He sees potential in them. All they need to do is get right with God. Make a few adjustments here, turn around, repent, get right. Oh, come on. You can do it. You can make it.
Amen.
Watch your tongue. Keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. That's what the New Living Translation says there. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29, verse 20, and this is it. Final, ultimate, finissimo. This is it. Y'all ready? This help you tonight? I know we're not always swinging from the chandeliers. Don't have any chandeliers. That's why we don't show him from, I guess. Good stuff, though. Proverbs 29, verse 20 says this, "Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him." Oh, wow. That's pretty strong, isn't it? We need to stop and think about what we're saying. You know, and it's not what you say in church. Oh, come on, it's easy to say hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, brother. Give me a hug. You know, we're in church. Come on. This is a safe place. And we should do that. I mean, I'm all for that, too. I love people, too. But it's when you leave here and you go to work tomorrow, or, you know, you're with your relatives on Thanksgiving. It's, you know, if you had a tape recorder that you could just turn on when you go to work and then play that thing back at the end of the day, what things you said that day about life, about yourself, about your future. You know, I'd be interested to hear what everybody says around the gas tanks, the gas station. A lot of stuff gets said at gas stations. You know. Can't believe this. We're never going to be able to make it. I don't know how people are going to make it. And we start talking negative and going under, and we just join right in with them. You know, and we're destroying ourselves. Don't be hasty with our words. There's more hope for a fool than him. The New Living Translation says, there is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Man, I want to think about what I say. If I'm building something here, and I am, I'm building a marriage, I'm building a family, I'm building a church, I'm building relationships, I'm building up people's lives, I'm giving people hope, hopefully I am, then I need to watch what material I'm using and how I'm putting it together. I need to plan. I don't think people plan to fail, they just fail to plan, you know. In other words, they're not thinking about the importance of what they say. There's more people being crushed by words and more people being encouraged by words. I had a great pastor. I had a wonderful pastor. John Osteen was just from 1975 to about 1982 when he came up here and started this church. He was such an encourager. Of course, his son's Joel. Everybody knows Joel Osteen. But his dad was such a preacher, such an encourager. You walked out of the service feeling like $1 million. You felt like you could make it, that God was on your side. Hallelujah, that you counted. There was just nothing that was impossible for you if you believed God and trusted God. That's what church should be about. And that's what we should share with people. Yeah. You know, it's how do people feel when they leave your presence? That's a good question. How do you treat, you know, we talk about great people and little people, you know, that don't count. How do you treat little people? It's not how you treat great people, important people. It's how you treat people that sometimes are not thought of as great and important.
Amen.
You know, there's a poem by Rudyard Kipling called If. It says, if you can walk with kings and queens and never lose the common touch, if all men count with you but none too much. I love that part of the poem because we don't need to lose that common touch. Every man is important. Every woman counts.
Amen. That's right.
And everybody has a future and a hope.
Yes.
You got one too. Amen. Don't sell yourself short. You have been bought and paid for, not with gold, silver, wood, hay, and stubble, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. That's about the highest value you can put on anybody.
Yes, amen.
We count, amen?
Yeah.